Blog Talk Radio.
Damn right we are. Hey, James Bosk here, Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do this live Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We have a recorded incarnation of the show that goes out over Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. That's where you want to go for, very simply, the world's finest conservative and libertarian talk radio, and ACP is proud and a little bit humbled to be rolling around in that rarefied air. Where do we start here? You've heard me say, and you know that it is the truth, so much of politics, especially on a national level, and really so much of politics in general, is theater. It's a lot of imagery. It's a lot of symbolism. A lot of pomp and circumstance. And people in Washington are just as good, just as gifted, just as adept at theater as the folks out in Hollywood. However, they are not as good, they are not as confident or as adept at this type of thing as Donald Trump is. And we've seen the marks of a very stable genius over the last few days, a remarkably stable genius. I've had the biggest kick. You know, we talked earlier last week, and I'll probably touch upon it again, that Democrats over the 4th of July week, that entire week, the first week of July, probably the worst week they've had in 47 years. But now, I think we can go. We're going two for two now. What this has to do with is a lot of it has to do with the infighting that's been going on in the Democrat Party, especially on the House side. Excuse me, just a moment. Allergies, so very, very sorry. There's been a lot of infighting. And that infighting has taken place primarily on the House side in Washington amongst the Democrats. The Senate, well, the Senate has their own way of looking stupid, and we'll be talking about that in a minute, Senate Democrats, that is. But the House Democrats have settled on this fight. And it at the core of the rhubarb and the kerfluffle in the Democrat Party on the House side is between Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, of course, Speaker of the House of Representatives. She's 107 years old, 107, 109 years old, something like that. She's been around a long time. Her dad was Tom D'Alessandro. He was a big-time party machine boss for the Democrats in Baltimore, crook from way back. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is new. She's fresh. She comes on the scene. She's self-insistent, which is a quality most politicians need to have, that and a healthy ego. And so she's calling a lot of attention to herself, and she's wanting to move the party in ways and in – maybe not so much direction, but certainly in ways and at a speed that the older heads, like the aforementioned 109-year-old Nancy Pelosi, don't necessarily want to move. So they're at odds. She gets in, she takes office, and then she has this sit-down, this sit-in protest in front of Nancy Pelosi's office, which does not endear her to the speaker. And they go back and forth, and they've been going back and forth for a while. And this has to do with a series of tweets that Ocasio-Cortez made concerning certain Democrat representatives throughout New York that she thought maybe the Democrat Party should primary. In other words, replace them with other Democrats. And by that, she means other Democrats more amenable to her agenda and narrative than Nancy Pelosi's. Well, Pelosi calls together the caucus and she talks about this. And she says, you know, we're not going to, you know, you guys, we need to be preaching unity. And when you're out tweeting that you want, you know, certain Democrats primaried and moved out of the way, it's not a very unifying thing to do, so shut up and knock it off. And, of course, Ocasio-Cortez sits up straight and clutches at her pearls and with a sharp intake of breath says, how dare Nancy Pelosi, get this, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, how dare Nancy Pelosi single out women of color to be treated in this racist fashion. She's calling Nancy Pelosi, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is playing the race card on her own Speaker of the House. Now, in enough right there. That's where you get the popcorn. That's where you sit down. That's where you find two or three channels that are covering this crap, and you just enjoy. But the President of the United States, very stable genius that he is, figured that wasn't good enough for the American people. We're going to spice this up a little bit. So what does he do? He comes to the defense of Nancy Pelosi. He speaks out against this, I'm not going to call him a squad, this quad. Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley and Alexandria Cortez. And he says, you know, they shouldn't say that. Nancy's been around a long time, and we've gone back and forth, and that's fine. But Nancy Pelosi's no racist, and you girls need to be treating her with a little bit more respect. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves and go upstairs and get that lipstick and stuff off your face and come back down here and get ready for dinner. Well, in the eyes of the quad, the four bangers, what is this? What? Donald Trump? Well, obviously she's a racist. Well, how do we know? Because Donald Trump's defending her. He only defends racists, you idiot. Donald Trump's a racist. So if he's defending Nancy Pelosi and saying she's not a racist, she really must be. Don't you get it? Oh, my God, you're right. So now Nancy is seen by the quad as being one of the establishment type, you know, sticks in the mud, one of the swells that's just like Donald Trump. She's a racist. Well, this continues. And the president reacts. And I don't know. I don't think it's really that scripted what he has done and what he has said. But basically, what it came down to was this. Hey, you guys, you don't have anything good to say about this country. You're always knocking it. You hate Jews. You hate white people. You hate Christians. You hate all the things about this country. Leave, okay? If you don't like it, leave. This job sucks. I can't stand it. The boss isn't that. But hey, you know, if you don't like it, leave. Oh, God, man, this girlfriend, she just wears me out. She's such a nag. I can't stand it. You don't like it? Leave. Not leave, you burqa-wearing Somalian hag. Not leave, you buck-toothed Puerto Rican. Not leave, you Black Lives Matter clown. Not leave, you Palestinian anti-Semite. He didn't say any of those things. None. He said, if you don't like it, leave. You're obviously unhappy here. Well, as expected, everybody, and I mean everybody, flipped their wigs over this. Oh, my God, he's a racist. He's, you know what? And of course, then they say what they always say. The president fundamentally unmoved by any of this. Now, I got to come to some clips about this. So, yesterday, the president, they're having a manufacturers conference in Washington, D.C. And one of the reasons they're having it is because manufacturing has taken off. You know, one of the more pleasing aspects of our economic boom, and we're in one, people. Things are good. Things are good. As Dwight Eisenhower once said, things are more like they are now than they ever have been. God bless America. So he's meeting with these manufacturers, and at the end of this conference, there is, or at the end of this meeting, there's a presser in the there at the White House. Nancy Pelosi, after Donald Trump says, "Hey, if you don't like it, go back where you came from. Go back where you came from. See if you can make it better, and then come back and tell us what you did." Well, Nancy Pelosi goes, well, you know, the president is just basically wanting to say, make America white again. And we're opposed to that. So they think they have him when he says things like this. Ah, sirens, emergency vehicles. Sounds like somebody might be having an emergency. So when the president says stuff like this, and again, the left, Hollywood, the macadamia in academia, they all lose their minds. He's a racist. He's this. This is going to kill him. He's finished. How can he stay president? We've got to arrest this guy. Oh, my God. He's the devil. And nothing happens because this is what they say every time he exercises freedom of speech and speaks truth to these idiots. So Nancy Pelosi accuses him of saying, you know, really what he really wants to do, don't want to make America great again, he wants to make it white again. And they ask him about this at the presser. So here's the first part of what's going on. Again, everything that he has said at this point, I think he was just reacting. I think when he said, hey, you know what, if you don't like it, go back to where you came from. I think it was just a reaction from a guy who loves his country, just like all of us, who hear this horse manure, hear this crap, and they say the same thing. Chuck you, Farley, and the horse you rode in on. You got that daggone turban so tight it's created pressure on your brain, and you're not making sense when you speak. So here's what the president had to say. This is part one of what was happening yesterday when they were asking about this. Listen to what he says.
Well, that's just a very racist statement. Somebody that would say that. So Speaker Pelosi said, make America white again. Let me tell you, that's a very racist statement. I'm surprised she'd say that. John, go ahead.
Going back to fix the problem. What were you talking about?
Well, they're very unhappy. I'm watching them. All they do is complain. So all I'm saying is if they want to leave, they can leave, John. They can leave. I mean, I look at Omar. I don't know. I never met her. I hear the way she talks about Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has killed many Americans. She said, you can hold your chest out. You can, when I think of America, when I think of Al-Qaeda, I can hold my chest out. When she talked about the World Trade Center being knocked down, some people, you remember the famous some people. These are people that, in my opinion, hate our country. Now, you can say what you want, but get a list of all of the statements they've made. And all I'm saying that if they're not happy here, they can leave. They can leave, and you know what? I'm sure that there'll be many people that won't miss them.
But they're American citizens.
But they have to love our country. They're Congress people, and I never used any names.
Are you
but these
okay
are people. Quiet, quiet, quiet,
racist,
quiet, quiet.
Are you okay with people
quiet
thinking your tweets are racist, sir?
Quiet. These
I'm
are people
question,
that
please.
If they don't like it here, they can leave.
Well,
and I don't know who's going to miss them, but I guess some people will. One of them is polling. One of them is polling at 8. One of them is polling at 8%. One of them is polling at 8%. So when I hear people speaking about how wonderful Al-Qaeda is, when I hear people talking about some people with the World Trade Center, some people, no, not some people, much more than some people. When I hear the statements that they've made, and in one case you have somebody that comes from Somalia, which is a failed government, a failed state, who left Somalia, who ultimately came here, and now is a congresswoman who's never happy, says horrible things about Israel, hates Israel, hates Jews. It's very simple. And if the Democrats want to wrap their bows around this group of four people,
and they
one
have
of them
no
kept
choice.
Amazon out of New York, tens of thousands of jobs, would have been a great thing. And she kept Amazon from going, would have been a good deal. I mean, could he have made better? Maybe. But tens of thousands of jobs, and New York has not been the same since that happened. It's really hurt New York and New York City. Amazon was going to go. They were going to relocate a major section of their business in New York. She kept them out. That was a terrible thing she did. A terrible thing she did. So here's the story. Here's the story. I see them complaining. They're complaining constantly. I watched Lindsey Graham today on Fox and Friends talking about the same subject, and frankly, even stronger than what I'm saying. He said they're communists. I'm saying that they're socialists, definitely, As to whether or not they're communists, I would think they might be, but this isn't what our country is about. Nevertheless, they're free to leave if they want, and if they want to leave, that's fine, and if they want to stay, that's fine, but the people have to know, and politicians can't be afraid to take them on. A politician that hears somebody where we're at war with Al-Qaeda and sees somebody talking about how great Al-Qaeda is, pick out her statement, that was Omar, how great Al-Qaeda is, when you hear that, and we're losing great soldiers to Al-Qaeda, when you see the World Trade Center gets knocked down, and you see the statements made about the World Trade Center, all the death and destruction, I'll tell you what, I'm not happy with them. And it's very easy to be saying, oh, gee, well, it's okay. If weak politicians want to say, and the Democrats in this case, if they want to gear their wagons around these four people, I think they're going to have a very tough election, because I don't think the people of the United States will stand for it.
Mr. President? Mr. President?
Oh, it is to laugh. All right, now, and they don't have any choice now. You know, he says, you know, the Democrats are going to put all their bows on these four women. They're going to circle their wagons around these chicks. Then they're going to have a tough time, because these, you can go to Breitbart. I think it was John. I thought I had it bookmarked, and apparently I don't. I thought I had it. I meant to. I thought I did. But I had a list set aside of the anti-Semitic, anti-American things that these four women have said. And I can't find it. I guess I didn't. I just thought I did. But at any rate, you can Google it and you can look. You know, Ilhan Omar, anti-Semite. That's all you got to put. Rashida Tlaib, anti-Semite. And it'll bring up all, you know, all the stuff that they do. And it's not any secret, man. It's all out there. Don't take my word for it. Believe me, it's there. And so now, the president has singled these women out. And what has he done? He's called a spade a spade. And I know I'm probably going to get in trouble with that. But that's all that's happening here. He is speaking truth to these rabble-rousers. And when he does it, it's like throwing holy water on a vampire. They recoil, they scream, they hiss, they make noise, they flap their leathery bat wings, and you know, their eyes roll back in their heads, and they hate and fear and loathe this guy, because he can do this to them with ease. He can do this to these people anytime he wants. Why? Because, my friends, he is a very stable genius. And he truly is. So now we got it. We got the second part of this. So now the next question that comes up, and it's a fair one, is whether or not, you know, does it bother the president that that these tweets that he's pulled out are considered racist? What does he think about that? Well, you know what he thinks about that. But here's how he puts it in his terms.
Mr. President, let me see if I can sum up sort of what people are talking about here. Does it concern you that tweet was seen as racist? Lindsey Graham said, encouraged you to aim higher. And does it trouble you?
He didn't say about that. He just said, don't go. See, I disagree with Lindsey.
Okay, but can
these
I finish?
Are congressmen. Right. What am I supposed to do? Just wait for senators? No.
And does
these
it?
Are four. So I disagree with Lindsey on that. That was the only thing. He said, aim higher. Shoot higher. What am I going to do? Wait till we get somebody else in a higher position, higher office? Sure. These are people that hate our country.
But
hey, John. They hate our country.
John, shut up.
They hate it, I think, with a passion.
Okay.
Now, it's possible I'm wrong. The voter will decide.
No, you're not
but
wrong,
when I
John.
Hear the way they talk about our country, when I hear the
right.
anti-Semitic
right.
language they use, when
oh,
I hear
God.
The hatred they have for Israel, and the love they have for enemies like Al-Qaeda, then you know what? I will tell you that I do not believe this is good for the Democrat Party. Certainly,
no.
It's not the party that I've known over the years.
Mr. President, where's the president?
Does it concern you that many people saw that tweet as racist and that white nationalist groups are finding common cause with you on that point?
It doesn't concern
me
because many people agree with me. And all I'm saying, they want to leave, they can leave. Now, it doesn't say leave forever. It says leave if you want. But what it says, what that says is, if they're not happy with the United States, if they're doing nothing but criticizing us all the time, you see these people walking down criticizing the United States, we just hit the highest stock market in history. All of these incredible manufacturers that are in, these are great business people. They employ many people, and we have workers with us too. They're having the best year they've ever had. Can I say that? Is that a correct statement? So, and they're hiring more people than they've ever had, and more people are making a good living than they've ever had. We just hit 27,000 plus on the Dow. It's the highest the stock market has ever been. And you have to go by the election, because the market started going up the day after I won. You know, they like to add all of that tremendous gain. They like to try and give it to Obama. The fact is, if I would have lost, the stock market would crash. And if these people that I watch in those debates ever got their hands on the United States government, 401ks, the values of your company, everything else that we talk about we're so proud of, it's down the tubes. People will lose their money. They'll lose their wealth. You'll have a crash like you've never seen before. And I'm really good at this stuff. I know what I'm talking about. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
You know why he's good at this stuff? You know why he knows what he's talking about? Because he is a very stable genius, my friends. How many times have I got to say it? So with this presser, and he didn't have to take questions on this stuff. That's not what they were there for. But he went ahead and he broke it down. He had control of that presser, that yappy little self-insistent girl, whoever she was. Man, I hope they don't invite her back. But he just laid it out. They hate our country, John. They hate our country, John. And this is the one thing, it's like the elephant in the room that no one wants to address. No one in the media wants to say it. No one on CNN is going to accuse Ilhan Omar of anti-Semitism or Sheeta Tlaib. They're not going to accuse them of anti-Semitism. They're not going to accuse them of being anti-American or un-American. They're not going to do it. The people out in Hollywood aren't going to do it. You and I, we're going to sit here and we're going to look at each other and nod sagely and go, well, hell yeah, they're anti-Semites. Of course they hate the country. Listen to what the hell they're saying. So Donald Trump just did that. That's all he did. Ha, that was some great stuff. We are going to take a little bit of a break, and we will be back on the other side with – we may go long again tonight, man. I'm feeling – I don't know. I might be feeling a bit chatty. So we may go long tonight, but we're going to take a little break like we always do, and then we will be back with more of ACP right after this.
She died in the dirt of Hollywood.
those men are still doing them tests of grace. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. What she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her.
Kakaiju Gojira. I went this weekend. I finally got to see it. We're going to get off the politics for a minute. I have some stuff I want to share, too, by the way. Billy, if you're listening, I have not forgotten. We're going to get to you because, like I said, I think I'm going to be going long tonight, and you're definitely going to be in there. Billy Alford, friend of ours from Facebook's, from our Talk America page, and an awesome dude. He contributes there, and he posted something today that really kind of resonated with me, and gonna share that with you here in just a minute. Uh-oh. Okay, well, Gary, we're going to bring you on the next time you come, and we're going to talk about this. And I'm going to get the Kong. Gary Benford, friend of ours from Nation Savers 2018, he usually pops in when I'm on and lets me know he's listening. Well, he just heard Godzilla, and I went to see the movie Godzilla, King of the Monsters. And, yes, Gary, I'm going to give you equal time. But it pretty much as advertised. They didn't do a whole lot of false advertising when they put the G-Man up as King of the Monsters, at least in this picture, okay? We'll give him that. I've always been a fan of these movies from the time I was a wee little nipper. And there's been a couple in the last couple years that kind of left me cold. But this was a good spin on the story. I mean, you know, it's a great summertime movie. The CGI, the effects were great. Everybody's pretty much on par nowadays. They have to be, or nobody's going to go see the movie. So it wasn't cheesy. It looked really good. And everybody was in this movie. Rodan was in this movie. King Ghidorah was in this movie. Mothra was in this movie. And a couple more that I've never even heard of before, and I think they were probably created specifically for this picture. But the main event is Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. That's what everybody's come to see. And, you know, Godzilla's kind of had a makeover here in his last few pictures, and they've kind of Schwarzeneggered him, Stallone'd him. You know, he's all ripped up and everything and square-faced and hard-ass and all that. But he's King of the Monsters, so I guess he better be. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but it's a Godzilla picture, so you can probably guess, you know, how this throwdown between he and King Ghidorah went. But it was a lot of fun, and if you're looking for, you know, for what it's worth and you're into that sort of thing, a nice summertime popcorn movie, this was it. It was really good. Now, back to what we were talking about earlier. Now, you would think that where we left off with this and the buffoonery that we see in the Democrat Party over all this mess would be enough that the Democrats would think to themselves, you know, we're all standing here covered in our respective Democrat monkey poo that we've just got finished flinging upon one another because we were triggered by the president and what he said. Maybe we just need to pull the Democrat monkey poo off of us, dust ourselves off, let's get cleaned up for a minute and talk about what just happened and what we can do to maybe not look so much like chumps every time Donald Trump opens his mouth. But no, nobody comes up with this idea. Or if they have, they were shunted to the back of the line. Because that's not what they decided to do at all. So, they decide they're going to vote. The House of Representatives going to vote on a resolution. We, the House of Representatives, do hereby resolve to rebuke the President of the United States' racist tweets. Well, the President says, well, you know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be voting to rebuke the filthy and hate-laced things that these four women had said. So they voted today, or they're supposed to vote today, on a disapproval resolution condemning President Donald Trump's, and I'm using my air fingers quotes here, racist comments, in which he said that a group of freshman women of color, whom he never denoted as women of color, at no time. He said Omar was from Somalia. Is this untrue? No, obviously it isn't. But he never singled anybody out racially. It didn't happen. But, you know, he said they should go back where they came from. And the resolution twice in its wording refers to, again, the air fingers quotes, racist comments from Trump, but does not call the president racist. So on Tuesday morning, Trump tweeted, to keep this thing going, that these congresswomen have been spewing some of the most vile, hateful, and disgusting things ever said by a politician in the House and Senate. And he was asking the House, why aren't you voting to rebuke the filthy and hate-laced things that they've said? Well, because they're Democrats, and we're not, you know, we're Democrats, and so... So anyway, we're going to do this thing on Donald Trump being a racist. So again, the very stable genius reaches into the desk drawer and gets the presidential laser pointer. and he does this. So now they're going to vote. They're going to vote on this. Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House. This is Nancy Pelosi's idea. Okay? She thinks that this is an opportunity to officially sanction, censure the president. Not through legislation, but through this you know, resolution, which is, you know, it's a circle jerk, doesn't mean anything. Shame on you. But at the same time, it's supposed to make everybody go, oh. So here's what Nancy Pelosi says. She rails against the president during Tuesday's debate on the House floor, promising that her caucus, the Democrats, would continue to respond to the disrespect aimed at the fundamental diversity of America. She accused the president of legitimizing and increasing fear and hatred against people of color and attempted to shame lawmakers who are dismissing the Democrats' politically fueled resolution. It's so sad because you would think that there would be a given that we would universally in this body just say, of course, Pelosi remarked. There's no excuse for any response to those words but a swift and strong, unified condemnation. Every single member of this institution, Democrat and Republican, should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets. To do anything less would be a shocking rejection of our values and a shameful abdication of our oath of office to protect the American people, sparking boos from others in the room. Representative Doug Collins, we've had stuff with him from the House Permanent Select Intelligence Committee. We've had clips from him where he's dealing with the Mueller stuff. Excuse me just a moment. And we're back. So Collins says, you know, Pelosi yields the remainder of her time. And Collins asks her, you want to maybe rephrase that, man? And Nancy says, I've cleared my remarks with the parliamentarian before I read them. And she walks off. Well, Representative Collins, after having given her this opportunity, asserted that the words, as Pelosi spoke them, broke decorum and demanded that they be taken down. So what now had to happen was the House had to decide whether or not her words are what they call in order. Now, if they are ruled out of order, and again, this is all parliamentarian rigmarole. You got to trust me on it. So if her words are to be found out of order, if she spoke like an idiot, and you heard what I read, so you know she did, the House has to decide. So if they decide, yeah, Nancy, that was pretty stupid, then the rules are she can be banned from speaking on the floor for the rest of the day. Collins asked her to withdraw the words. She didn't. They took it to a vote. Guess what? Yes, 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 yes. The Democrats, the House Democrats, Nanny Bear's own people, upon further review, Nancy Pelosi was found to have broken the rules of the U.S. House of Representatives by calling Donald Trump racist on the floor Tuesday, but Democrats voted to keep her remarks in the record and restore her speaking privileges. Turns out, basically, Collins was right in what he said, and maybe he knew she wouldn't. Pride goeth before fall, and a haughty spirit before looking like a chump, or whatever that is. So yeah, but she thought she was going to get away with it, and she didn't, she halfway got away with it. They didn't sanction her or penalize her, but they did find her to be out of order. So in a party vote in the House, the Democrats, straight down the line, voted, well, we're not going to have her words taken down. They're not going to be stricken from the record, and she didn't lose her speaking privileges, and we're going to vote on this thing anyway. And I haven't heard anything yet, but I'm guessing that it's a nothing burger. It's going nowhere. But in between this vote yesterday, because of all these things that have happened, was what the president said. The girls, Cortez, Omar, Presley, and Tlaib, they have a press conference because this thing is so freaking huge. Oh, hold on here a minute. I gotta change some things. We're gonna go extra innings on this one. They have a press conference. Everybody carries the press conference. Everybody. To see what these idiots are gonna say because of what the president has said about them earlier that morning. So Tucker Carlson, he's got it totally under control. And he let me see if I can find it here. Right. Some of his opening comments had to do with this press conference and what these fools had to say. These are not these girls are not deep wellsprings of intellectual substance. They're not. Here's what Tuck had to say about it. And I think he's got some excerpts from what these magpies were jabbering about.
The president attacked four freshman Democrats in Congress: Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib. He called them anti-American. Cable News has been going bonkers ever since. The consensus in Washington is that Trump made a mistake by once again making the story about himself. Maybe that's true. Time will tell. But there's another way to look at it. By singling out these four members of Congress, the president also highlighted their prominence in the Democratic Party. 6 months ago, these were just four young lefties in a sea of 235 House Democrats. Now, they are the Democratic Party. If you don't believe it, you must have missed the press conference they just held, which all the channels took live. They said a lot, which will help define the Democratic Party going forward. Here, for example, is Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts explaining that the president is not really the president.
Remarks from the occupant of our White House. I will always refer to him as the occupant, as he is only occupying space. He does not embody the grace, the empathy, the compassion, the integrity that that office requires and that the American people deserve.
Uh-huh. So if you're not compassionate, according to this member of Congress, you are illegitimate. This president is illegitimate, she says, because the 2016 election itself was illegitimate. It didn't go the way Democrats wanted, so of course it must have been rigged. 3 months after the Mueller report showed otherwise, Ilhan of Omar of Minnesota repeated today the conspiracy theory that the president colluded with Russia. Watch.
This president, who has been credibly accused of committing multiple crimes, including colluding with foreign government to interfere
you married
with our
your brother.
Election.
You married your brother.
It went on like this. Just days after a terror attack on an ICE facility driven by their irresponsible rhetoric, the group repeated the insinuation that border detention facilities, far from being created by the Obama administration, are in fact a brand new atrocity created out of nothing by the Trump people, and they're a crime against humanity. Watch.
Keeping children in cages and having human beings drinking out of toilets.
He can't look a child in the face, and he can't look all Americans in the face and justify why this country is throwing them in cages.
Uh-huh. It was a big day. Earlier in the day, new party leader Ilhan Omar was asked about a recent terror attack committed by the left, and she pointedly refused to condemn it. Watch this.
Will you condemn the Antifa attack in Washington over the weekend? It's easy to condemn terrorism. Will you condemn it?
Is it clear?
Antifa firebombed a facility in Tacoma over the weekend. It's an ICE facility. Will you condemn them for that?
It's not hard, but she didn't do it. Why didn't she? Because progressives love it. They love this whole thing. They think moments like the one you just saw are helping their cause. They're thrilled when Ilhan Omar and the rest give the finger to their many political enemies. Problem is, Twitter is not America. Twitter is a tiny, foul-smelling sewer where unhappy people share their fever dreams. The rest of the country is a very different place, and the rest of the country finds that kind of rhetoric disgusting. Even the majority of Democrats are unnerved by it. Look at the polls. When Ilhan Omar is talking, Democrats are losing. Again, when Ilhan Omar and Ocasio-Cortez and the rest, when those four people are talking, Democrats are losing. They don't know that yet on Twitter. They'll find out at some point, probably soon. John Miller is the host of White House Brief, and he joins us tonight. John, thanks a lot.
He's absolutely right. And in just a matter of a couple days, Donald Trump has brought these four women to be seen as the face of the Democrat Party. When these people talk, just like Tucker Carlson said, when these people talk, Democrats lose. And it seems to be, and they do, they live in this little, I don't know what you want to call it, bubble, echo chamber of Twitter and I guess Instagram and I'm sure Facebook and the news media where they think this stuff is working. They think that these women are sympathetic figures, if you get what I mean, that people are going to rally to their defense. And they're gonna be a firewall between these brave women and this churlish, misogynistic, chauvinistic, hating ass bigot president Donald Trump. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. And the longer that these four women are left in the forefront. The longer they're there in that limelight, the more detrimental it's going to be to what the Democrats want. Here's the thing. And there's nowhere, really, I mean, if they take the attention, okay, let's take the whatever we got to do to shut these four babes up and take the attention off of them and put it somewhere else where we've got a chance at doing something. Oh, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, and I'm glad I did, John Brennan. Johnny, I have not forgotten about you. It's been way too long, and we are going to get together soon, buddy. We're going to get together real soon. Excuse me. An article last week, and I'm scrolling desperately to find it, had to do with basically the Democrats having the worst week they've ever had from a poll, public opinion standpoint, public relations standpoint that they've had in 47 years. And they go back to this time when George McGovern in 1972 picked his running mate, Thomas Eagleton, from, I can't remember where it was from. I think it was one of the Upper Plains states. Anyway, the guy, they come to find out, had been hospitalized, being treated for depression. He was given electroshock therapy. And that, you know, in those days, 1972, okay, we've got an electrified vice president. No. Not that it would have mattered. Nixon was running as a steamroller and took the 72 election in a landslide. But basically, with the Democrats, it's like this. In a nutshell, this is what they stand for. This is what they have to bring to the table on election day, and this is what the campaign is going to be. And this is came across this today. Like I said, this is from our friend Billy Alford, and I'm patiently waiting on the page to pull up. So I have to just kind of blah 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 yaggity schmaggity here for a minute. And here we are. Again, this is our friend Billy Alford. Great stuff. He contributes sometimes to the page. Billy, you're listening. God bless you, buddy. We love you. Just a quick review. The Democrats are calling for open borders, government health care, a continued war against coal, gas, and oil, even a ban on the internal combustion engine, and so many more socialist programs. They're openly attacking our right to keep and bear arms, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. They openly hate and attack our Constitution, our founding fathers, our founding principles, our history, our flag, our heroes, our anthem, our pledge, our patriotism, our God, our inalienable God-given rights, even liberty itself. Our president is successfully appointing constitutional judges, and this will impede their anti-constitution efforts. So now they want to change the structure and the makeup of our courts. And they hate the Electoral College. So they're trying to eliminate or go around that so that future presidents can be elected solely by our most populous states, solid Democrat states, of course. And they can't stand the fact that our president was elected by winning a majority of the states as per the founders' constitutional design and intent. Therefore, they have to cheat and rig the elections. And that's partly what this steaming pile of legalizing illegal aliens and opening our borders and sanctuary city BS is all about. They want to flood red and purple districts with as many new Democrat voters as possible, legal or not. And now they're planning to step up their attacks on our borders by calling our border enforcement people Nazis and accuse them of cruelty and running concentration camps. And this is just part of their ongoing general war against law enforcement and the rule of law. Racism? Every stinking one of these communist bitches absolutely hates white Americans. They openly express their hatred for us every day. They call us privileged, racist, misogynist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, fascist, Nazi, on and on and on. They should look in the mirror. President Trump is doing great things for our country. His conservative policies have our economy booming. We're now totally energy independent. He's fighting for our Constitution. He's appointing constitutional judges, defending our rights, rebuilding our military, fighting against big government, cutting regulations, fighting against the illegal alien invasion. Make no mistake, people, that's just exactly what that is. Fighting against democratic socialism, fighting against the wholesale destruction of our country and our society. The Socialist Congress is now going to vote to condemn him. They'll try to impeach him. They know they can't beat him in an election, so they got to get rid of him any way they can so they can move their socialist agenda. Trump is literally the only person standing between us and a godless Democrat socialist hell, a.k.a. communist, a.k.a. tyranny. I love the fact that the president's fighting back. They can call him and me, and I'm sure you, all the vile names in the book. But I stand with President Trump for God, family, and country every day of the week. Some great stuff from Billy Alford. Billy, thank you so much. I told you I was going to use it. There it is. That's some awesome stuff. That's where they're at. Okay, that's what they want to bring to the table. That's what they're offering the American voter. Now, the problem is there are those who are going to look at that agenda and they're going to say, yeah, these are all the things that I'm in favor of. Gun confiscation, open borders, legalizing abortion until the kid registers for college, government-funded health insurance for illegal aliens, slavery reparations, gay reparations, forced busing. By the way, no one has to pay back that $1.5 trillion in student loans that taxpayers are going to be on the hook for, eliminating everyone's health insurance, abolishing the Electoral College, taxpayer-funded abortions for transsexual women who are really guys and never going to need an abortion. Every single one of the Democrat Party presidential candidates are in favor of this. Every single one. Joe Biden today, you're not going to believe this, actually said, and I can't believe somebody on his team didn't say, Joe, no, you can't. You just can't. Joe Biden, and I'm not making this up, in talking about his government-sponsored health care for everybody, actually said, yes, he actually said, hey, you know what? You got insurance through your employer? And you like it, you can keep it. If you got your own insurance, you like it, and you want it, you can keep that too. Yeah. He, by God, did. He did. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Who is running this moron's campaign? Honestly. I'm not making it up. Check it out. Joe Biden, like your plan, keep your plan. Google it. You can find the clip. He said it, I think, yesterday, some rally somewhere. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. Going back to, he's going to take you guys back to Obamacare. Unbelievable. Unflippin' believable. This is what they're bringing to the table, guys. And like I said, there are going to be folks that go, yeah, yeah, I like it. I'm voting for this guy. He speaks to me. Is this guy perfect? Donald Trump, no. Is he a very stable genius? Yes, I'm inclined to think that he is. Look at what he's done with what he has said. Now, in terms of time spent, we've heard everything that he said. I paraphrased what he said. It took me longer to paraphrase it and set up the backstory for you guys than it did for him to actually say, hey, you don't like it, leave. And then you heard the press conference in its totality. The comments that he made during that presser were, I broke it up, it was about 7.5-8 minutes. So, in less than 10 minutes of his day, look at the consternation he has roiled up in the Democrat Party, in the media, in Hollywood. Everybody's tweeting, everybody's mad, everybody's crazy. And just like the dude, the president abides, man. The president abides. I have said this repeatedly, and when I see things like what I have seen over the last couple of days, this mental jiu-jitsu that this president is so adept at. He has to be, without a doubt, the most instinctually gifted student of psychology the 21st century has ever seen. And I'm not kidding. He has this uncanny innate ability to size up his counterparts, his adversaries, in this case, adversaries and enemies, because these people hate his guts. They hate his living guts with a passion that blinds them. Look how stupid they have behaved in the last 2 years with what they have done and tried to do, and what they have tried and failed to do over and over again. But he just knows how to get their number. And he's had them jumping up and down. Nancy Pelosi has got to be fit to be tied. Number one, he forces her to defend these people. She knows these are not the four you want out in front starting into a campaign, starting into a presidential election cycle. But she doesn't have any choice. She's got to defend them. She called these four women who accused her of racism her sisters. These four women who have embarrassed her and made her look like a chump, like a doddering old matron, she's had to embrace them. She's had to make public displays of fealty and loyalty. She's had to call them her sisters. Can you imagine how much gall and wormwood that is to her? Ha, 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 ha. And don't think she settled her beef with Schumer in the Senate. They're still having words. We're not hearing too much about it, but there's a rift there. There's a frostiness there. You're not seeing any unifying statements from either one of them. They're both going their own way, where they used to be seen together a lot. I think maybe they've broken up. They're going to see other Democrats, maybe. I don't know. So she defends these people. And she defends these people to the point of calling them sisters, to the point of trying to get a resolution rammed through the House, censuring the president, condemning his racist comments. She is booed out of the House. Accuses the president of racism on the floor of the House, tries to move and shame people into voting for this resolution, is booed and found to have been out of order. The Speaker of the House, her house turned against her. This is not a woman who has an iron grip on her caucus. That's sitting in the back of Nancy's mind. It's probably new to her. She did not expect this. Because he is a very stable genius, my friends. He made her stick up for these fools. He made Nancy Pelosi exalt these women as martyrs, as heroines of the Democrat Party, putting them even more in the limelight. And again, when these people speak, the Democrat Party loses. Nancy Pelosi knows this, and there are going to be powerful people in the Democrat Party that are going to look at Nancy Pelosi and say, "What the hell are you doing? Are you serious?" She's on her way out. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But with a minimum of effort, he has achieved a maximum of turmoil with these folks. And to be perfectly honest with you, it just tickles the living daylights out of me. I think with that, I'm glad we went long. But I think with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. You can hear ACP here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com through the Patriot Nation Radio Network. You can also hear the recorded version Sundays at 4 p.m., or you can listen to it in the archive there at Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. The world's best, very simply put, conservative and libertarian talk radio. Again, ACP, proud and humbled to be moving with those guys. Check them out, mojo50.com. That's all the time that we're going to take tonight. Thank you guys for hanging out. Just in a little bit, we will be back on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. Until then, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you then.